SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Sterling standing by. And before Andy admonishes me, I got to say, Andy, this was Tom Amos's fault.
I don't care. I was reading.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, Amos
is a far more important man than me.
We talked about his win at Oklahoma on Sunday night and got an update on Serengeti Empress and so on and so forth. We had a really nice visit, actually, with Tom, and he sends out his...
Is she running Empress, or is she going straight to the Breeders' Cup?
Straight to the Breeders' Cup.
Oh. Okay. No, probably a good year to have a two-year-old filly. Is there anybody good out there yet? I guess we'll take a look and see what happens to Frisette.
Exactly.
But, with feedback, doesn't appear that she'll make a race.
Right now, it's Tom's filly and the Simon Callahan filly, that Bella Fina.
What kind of fig did she get out west?
89.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, Tom's horse a little dressed up. Much as I want to see Tom win, obviously a pretty weak field she met last time.
Big margin
victories tend to make horses look better than they are. Well, I'm rooting for
that's
Tom.
Fair.
So
that's fair. No, it'd be nice. You know that he surprised me with one thing. Considering some of the horses that he's had, he's never had a champion named.
Not surprised. Who would he have had that was a champion? Heritage of Gold?
Yeah, Heritage of Gold. I might have. I'm sure she got votes that good year that she had.
Yeah, what was that, 2000?
That's about maybe earlier even. Late 90s?
Somewhere there, yeah.
She was a nice horse.
She was a very nice horse.
Yeah.
Listen, Tom is the highest win percentage of any trainer with over 3,000 victories.
That's
his career win percentage is around 26.
He does a tremendous job. I'm just pulling her up. When the year she won the Apple Blossom. And
she won the Gopher Wand. It was a grade one.
Yes, she did.
She beat Beautiful Pleasure, right, I think. But I think she beat Beautiful Pleasure? Was that? That was a year.
That sounds right. You were right, 2000. 2000.
Yeah. No, Beautiful Pleasure was kind of finito at that point.
Well, and she... And Beautiful Pleasure beat her in the. I guess the difference was the personal ensign, and then she was third Heritage in the Distaff.
Who won the Distaff?
That was an upset because I was there. The Lucas filly. Spain.
Oh yeah.
Yep. At a huge price. That was a mammoth day for Thunder Gulch. There was the 2 year old. There was the 2 year old filly. We hit that one. That was the second race of the day. The Thunder Gulch filly.
Oh, okay. Big price. That day.
That's one of my best days ever.
I don't really have much memory of that day. I just remember Tis in the Grilly Great Classic, which is now a Giant's Causeway. I sort of remember watching it in my apartment. I don't have that much of a memory of that.
I was there, and it was so much fun. It was there with the barbecue. We were doing the barbecue, and just had a fabulous day.
Big star.
I suppose. Well, we had some stars made on Saturday, Andy, and I had Uriah St. Louis yesterday, which was really fun. What a wonderful result that was, honestly. I mean, I know people, came away tearing some tickets up, but I thought it was pretty
neat. A good example of you know, entering horses that are sort of fringe competitors, and, you know, horses that, and he's been overachieving since he won the Excelsior in April and improving, and he sort of realized me are probably third or fourth best at best, and he should never have been that price. And I picked him third. I've actually tried sort of to get him into tries and exactly and bet a few dollars to win on him because he was such a crazy price. And it's not, I'm not trying to suggest that I would win the race, but he's a horse that was close enough and he had the right kind of running style if the race was going to fall apart. And, you know, since Gronkowski just didn't show up and run his race, there were limited numbers of horses that could do that. And, you know, you sort of ride him. You're not going to get victimized by the pace. And the only way a horse like that could win is, you know, it's more like if the race just sort of falls apart, which it obviously did. And, you know, you're going to finish probably third or fourth at best, which isn't terrible. And, in, you know, in odd scenarios, as you saw on Saturday, he has an outside chance to win, and he did. I mean, like I say, he probably wasn't better than 6% to win, but he wasn't the 2% the odds made him. And it worked out well, and it could happen sometimes, and good for them. And it's cool in racing that sort of low-profile connections and low-profile horses sometimes win big races. It gives everybody a chance, and it shows it's not races aren't run on paper. Diversify, Mendelsohn really went after him, but Mendelsohn was the best horse in the race. So, you know, if Diversify hadn't gone, Mendelsohn would have won. And I don't fault Irad, and people weren't faulting Irad. I didn't fault him at all. He did what he's supposed to do. Could they fault him after the Suburban? It's sort of typical, you know, post-race nonsense. And Thunder Snow, maybe he moved a smidgen soon, but I don't know if I have to criticize him there. And Thunder Snow ran very well. Probably ran his best career dirt race. I'm sure he did. Better his Dubai race. It was sort of a dressed-up win over there. You know, listen, it's not as though I didn't like Thunder Snow, but it's not as though, when we talked to this before the race, his resume was terrible. I mean, he had some really nice performances in the turf going a mile last year. I mean, third by a length in the St. James Palace and winning the what is it, the Jean Prat, and finishing second in the Irish Guineas. So it's not like he's an untalented horse. And I'll tell you what, this classic, I mean, you look at that crew, it is absolutely wide open because it's very hard to certainly diversify if he even runs. You know, it's kind of tough to take him off that. And you imagine the pace would be reasonably hot. And Accelerate didn't exactly thrill anybody with his performance on Saturday. And West Coast will have a long way to improve from that race to get back to his old form. Obviously, either of course can win, but they didn't get anybody too excited with those performances. So you go to the classic, and I think it's one of the more wide open fun classics we've had in a while. Probably a lot of wide open races on a Breeders' Cup card, which is always entertaining.
Let's talk about some of the other divisions as part of what we saw Saturday and in advance of the next round of Super Saturday action at Belmont and holiday weekend action, we should mention as well. Channel Maker with a little bit of a different strategy, Andy, and kind of nice to see him get over.
Well, listen, he's a horse that I've been championing his cause for 4 months now. I mean, I was all over him in Manhattan when he should have won, and because they had a little more confidence in him on Saturday. And bet, you know, he's a rare horse that I've been betting. I bet 4 straight races and cashed in 2 of them. Should have cashed in 3 of them. And once again, in New York, one person is aggressive. It's always, and that it's often an advantage because everybody just can't grab fast enough. If anybody wants to see a sad example of that, take a look at the 10th race on Sunday, which was just, I mean, an utter embarrassment of, I don't know what was going on in that race, but boy, I'll tell you what. Lucky they don't have the answer to me, because there were some preposterous rides in that race. But needless to say, he went and you know, Robert Bruce sort of dropped back more than he should have. Maybe they were moving okay, you know, with that Euro going after him. But I also think, to be fair, and I'm a fan of Channel Maker, and I've been, as I said, I sort of liked him all along. But I think if you watch the 2 races on the Widener on Saturday, when you think about the fact that we had just taken the rails down, that ground was totally fresh inside. There was an extreme advantage to the inside. We saw it in the last race as well, where it looked like the Barclays Hag horse was going by line and weight and came back on. The rail had a lot to do with it. And you watch a lot of horses struggling outside in that Turf Classic in general. And no better example of that than second horse Robert Bruce, who really looked like he was sort of cruising up. And don't forget, he made his move on the inside of the turn And when he angled out, I mean, you could see the ground break beneath him around the 3/16th hole. And there were a couple of sort of semi-bobbles of the ground breaking, and I just think the ground was much firmer inside, much, much firmer than it was outside. And that really helped Hailmaker. I'm not looking to knock him. As you know, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But I think you have to take an objective look and suggest that the racetrack did play a very big role in that. Not only did it help him, I think it really hurt Robert Bruce. So going towards the Breeders' Cup, I wouldn't, you know, I would be more interested in Robert Bruce just to think the price would be better, you know.
No, good point.
But I'm not. Listen, I'm not going to be surprised if Hailmaker runs well. I do think the Europeans, obviously, and they, as often as the case in the turf, are probably the ones. But we'll see who ends up coming over.
Yeah, exactly. We got to get through Champions and through the Arc, and there are some serious, obviously, as always.
Yeah.
There are some serious horses to watch for. Speaking, yeah.
Go ahead.
Speaking of serious horses, granted, there was nothing really lined up to challenge Imperial Hint, but that's still a very useful tune-up for him.
I thought Andy gave a number. It was too high a number. I think he raised it too much, to be honest. I meant to call him about that. But, I mean, this is a horse that just went eased up. It wasn't even, I think that all that, he could have gone faster or she could have gone faster is one of the most incorrectly used concepts in racing. Having said that, this horse could have gone a lot faster. So this was a strange race. I mean, just much, much the best. And this is two times in a row. It's sort of, this was a joke field behind him, with all due respect. But he's been terrific. Absolutely. I mean, he's just been terrific. That's three straight races. He's run very well. He's in great form. So, yeah, he's looking forward to seeing him as well.
We'll also get the West Coasters, notably Roy H. and Ransom the Moon. They're going to tune up this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see what they do this weekend, you know.
Yeah.
Imperial Hint, he's got to be a horse to beat at this point.
Yeah.
He has to be. Well, Dale's horse. I don't want to promise the field is very good.
Yep.
He is really good. That horse is a serious horse. Is he running the Phoenix?
Good question. I'll check.
That's tomorrow.
Check on that.
Well, that may be. They draw pretty early. That's Friday.
Yeah.
You know, they moved that to Friday this year, right? It's always been a Saturday, hasn't it?
No, I think.
Year.
I think it's been an early. I think it has been.
No,
the first.
No. I know. I don't think it was a Friday when Unhappy won it.
Well, that's what? That's 2 years ago? Two or three years ago? Well, the.
Time flies when you're.
Oh God, yeah. He is. Yeah, well, he's possible as it happens. Whitmore, Promises Fulfilled, Limousine Liberal, Heartwood. Yeah, so he may go. That's a big. Obviously, that's going to be the big issue here is who is going six and who is going to do the one turn, the mile, the dirt mile. Then there's a bunch of horses that are on that crossover list.
Yes, that's true.
Firenze Fire and Warriors Club, Limousine Liberal, Promises Fulfilled, Whitmore, on and on and on. And you're going to laugh when I say it. Army Mule's been working. He's had four straight works on time.
Yeah, he's a funny horse. I mean, I was looking at your list, and it was a good list that you put up on Derby Trail. I was looking at this morning, actually. People should check those out. I don't know what to do with him. I was looking at him, and I was thinking, God, he runs a race like he did in the Carter. He just smashed this field. He would. He would win this race if he ran the Carter. But I just, is he going to keep getting resurrected? I don't know, but he is a hard horse to leave out, that's for sure.
Now, if they're just, and he's gone a bunch of easy half miles, and the next two weeks.
We'll see if he makes it.
Keep him in the back of your mind.
But obviously, he's crazy talented if he runs this race. I mean, forget it. I mean, that Carter, people have probably forgotten his Carter. But there's an argument as Carter was the single best race run in America this year on the dirt or any surface.
Yep,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
That was a newspaper record on Sunday.
Well, talk about both. And I thought 40 under ran a wonderful race.
Yeah,
and
he ran a wonderful race. He ran okay. I mean, he got a good
He ran a nice race.
He ran fine. Let's not get carried away.
And he got a good ride.
He got a great ride. And he's a nice horse. And I like, you know, it's nice to see Jeremiah as he gets more chances with different horses, you know, winning with a 2-year-old turf horse in a race like that. And I think it's a real credit to what a good job he does. Because Jeremiah, let's, you know, be honest, he's sort of, you know, somewhat his father's shadow, somewhat of a Finger Lakes trainer. He got some recognition with Rio Antonio, got put up. But he's, you know, he's had, what, 3 straight terrific Saratogas. And he's winning now with 2-year-olds. And he's had some different times. But, you know, winning, you wouldn't put him on the list of guys you expected to win a race like the Pilgrim a couple of years ago. So it's good to see, because I think Jeremiah's an absolutely terrific trainer. And he's really getting a chance with different kind of horses. And he's delivering. So that was satisfying in there. That was a funny race. You know, once again, you know, the turf course obviously is playing a major role. I don't know if Opry didn't handle it. I don't think it was one of Javier's better rides, but maybe he just, you know, was in a tough situation because he definitely moved prematurely. And it's funny because the horse that sort of, you know, sort of had confidence that he would come running at the end the way he did last year, but maybe on that turf course it's a little harder to do. I don't know, but he's a better horse than that. I mean, Spirit Animal, geez, I mean, great job by Jose even staying on him considering what happened to start. And if nobody's watched the head on of the start and seen that, and we showed it on Belmont Live after the race was over, I mean, it's a miracle to read the chart. I don't disagree with them, frankly. He would have been much, much closer. He ran okay, but 40 unders, all right. You know, both his maiden win in this race were nice efforts. And so that's a wide open race at this point, at least as far as the U.S. horses that I've seen. I mean, we'll see what happens to Bourbon. I'm not familiar with 2-year-olds in the turf in California at all. That's one of the Euros I'm guessing will really come for in force, seeing how open it is. I'm not sure how aggressive they're going to be with the fillies. I mean, the only possible question with newspaper record is whether or not she's a horse that's excelling on softer ground, because she's gotten given the ground in both her races. So to be honest, I don't think that there was a ton of give in Sunday's race. A, the inner's been drying quicker, but when you look at the final time of the race, it's not like, you know, what was she going to go, 140 on a firm course? But my God, I mean, newspaper record, she's got to be one of the most impressive 2-year-olds. I mean, obviously analyze it. Was very impressive last year in his races, but geez, can you remember a 2-year-old filly going to the Breeders' Cup that you were as impressed with as her? I mean, she was more impressive than Lady Eli.
Yeah.
Do you disagree?
No. Dreaming of Anna maybe is a 2-year-old from that fits that profile somewhat.
Well, she won synthetic in the
I'm just, right. I mean, in terms of what's going to be a hype kind of a way. That's all. I mean.
Pretty good, Dreaming of Anna.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is kind of a special look of a horse.
Agreed.
You know, and you know, it's not as though she raced to get a particularly firm course at Churchill the first Saturday in November, so course condition probably won't be a problem for her, you know, in that respect. She was really impressive. Jeez.
No, that's a good point, actually, that it won't, that's true, because it could be squishy and it could have that kind of a, yeah.
She had no problem sitting off a horse at Saratoga, and this race she just took Irad in the front, 23:44 for the first quarter. I mean, that's moving. And then to still explode like that down the stretch, geez. We'll see. She's pretty good.
Andy, a couple of quick hits for other action. A lot of people, I think, at least from a historic standpoint, Rocketry's effort knocking, you know, they're talking about Man of War's record, but Forgo, I mean, Kelso actually had the same, shares that record. It wasn't just Man of War. Yeah.
Right. Nobody's mentioning him.
No.
It's funny hearing Jimmy Jerkins' quotes after the race, and it's one of the reasons I love Jimmy, right? I mean, he was sort of annoyed that he broke the record, right? You could just read it. It's like,
yeah.
Ugh. I mean, no disrespect to Rocketry, is a really nice horse, and apparently going long, he's better in the dirt than he is in the turf. And partly also the dirt horses aren't as tough as the turf horses are going longer. But, you know, Jimmy was sort of like, you could just read his comments, it's like, well, you know, it's not Man of War. The track has been lightning fast in the dirt the entire meet at Belmont, but particularly this weekend. So obviously that played a big role in it. But listen, he ran well. And, you know, good for Jimmy, good for Centennial.
Yeah, he wanted to change it up.
I mean, it's hard. There aren't that many big dirt routes, but feels like a horse that will be running in them from now on.
Agreed.
It's a $200,000 race on Breeders' Cup week at Churchill, so probably run that, right? Why not?
Absolutely. Of course. Yeah. A couple of notable 2-year-old efforts that the people may not have noticed are both Saturday and Sunday. U.S. Navy Cross with a very solid maiden win, going 7.
What thing did he get? Do you know?
79.
Yeah, that's what I was saying with Chad, somewhere around high 70s, you know, to 80, somewhere in there, mid 70s to 80.
And what about the It's Tricky's daughter, Enliven, on Sunday?
74 fig. 74. Yeah, I don't know how good that horse really is. I, you know, we'll see if she can improve a little bit. You know, I love It's Tricky, so.
Yeah, me too.
Would this be her final foal?
Good question.
Tied last year, right?
I think so.
So she could have a yearling this year, right?
She could, and I'll tell you in 2 seconds.
She could have a yearling, right? Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I loved her. No, she could improve. I wouldn't. You know, both horses, the jury's still out. I mean, the other thing about U.S., what's his name, U.S. Navy Flag? Or U.S.
Yeah, U.S.
He did come right up the rail, and the rail has been extraordinarily strong at Belmont, and this weekend was a very, very strong this weekend. So I do think that, you know, could dress him up a little bit. Listen, he may be a horse that's just learning, and he'll be closer, and he'll be better with more distance, but I think, And listen, I'm not knocking him. He made a nice run in there, but he did have the advantage of being on the rail, and I think you have to, you know, sort of withhold judgment. I wouldn't, you know, they're firsters. They can go both ways. They can go one way or the other, right? And their future starts. They can go backwards. They can go forwards. I think there's a good chance we'll see both of them on Breeders' Cup weekend at Aqueduct, and the filly and the Tempted, and the colt and the Nashua. But they're definitely promising. I don't, you know, how good they are, I don't know. It's hard on debuters.
Well, and unfortunately, this is her last baby.
No.
The one last year, you know, she delivered a dead foal and
was that one of the reasons she died?
Yeah, 17.
No, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
So this is her last.
A good horse. I loved her. I like any horse that starts her career on the inner track and goes on and becomes a grade one winner.
She was terrific.
She won the FIPS. She won the coaching club. Mm. She was second the distaff to the Churchill to Good Horse Royal Delta.
Yeah, I looked and
Rock, she's a wonderful horse.
Yeah, Kieran and I had a lot of fun conversations about her.
No, I'm a big fan. Big fan from day one. Always liked her. Did well betting her.
Well,
did she win? She win the Acorn.
It's Tricky.
Yeah, she beat somebody good in the Acorn. She won the Acorn, upset somebody.
She did win the Acorn.
She did, right?
Yeah. You she won what? The Acorn.
Let me see if I can get her record from that horse that ran on Sunday. I feel like she was second choice in that race, and I got like $9 on her. Even better, maybe a bigger price. You know,
I got it right here in the Acorn.
Was the maiden rain race Sunday that horse won? Yeah, must have been the Phillies run on Sunday.
Yeah, it was. She beat. Oh, you know who she beat? Was Turbulent Descent came in for Pipey.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go. Huh, that's interesting, yeah.
And you know who else was in there? Was Her Smile, the Bobby Flay filly.
Okay. She's a man with somebody right now.
You got 10-1 on It's Tricky that day.
Aqueduct. And then she won the 2 stakes at on the inner. She bought, they took her down to Florida, right? They had a debacle, take her to Florida. Then she won the Acorn. Extra 10-1. No, she was 10-1.
I definitely
picked her that day. I loved her. I just had a thing for her. She was good. I mean, you know, she took the Florida debacle as a muddy track, and then she won the CCA Oaks in her next start. Second in the Alabama. Second in Cotillion to Plum Pretty. Second in the Breeders' Cup.
No, she was a great horse. She was really good.
Really good.
1.6 million.
The FIPS. She beat Cash for Clunkers, who was, I think, one of Seth's horses, but was she But she, the favorite there may have been Awesome Maria. It was third, whatever, did not like. And then she ran third in the personal ensign when Love and Pride beat Royal Delta. And then she ran just in second the Bell Name. She must have got hurt after that. She was, what a record she was. 8 for 14, 12 for 14, first or second. A little worse. Yeah, was she. And starting into a good broodmare. Oh, well.
Yeah. And where's the brother, by the way, speaking of which? Is he?
This is something, I think Dave Brennick wrote something that that Kieran was expecting him to be at Gulfstream like November 1st to start training again.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Yeah. He's got some questions to answer.
Enticed. Yeah.
He's probably a more of a one-turn type horse.
That's all right. Just get him. Let's get him back.
Race in two turns. No, listen, I'm going to root for all these trickies. What else? Somebody else coming on? Or am I the last one?
Well, I do owe Jerry Hollendorfer a call.
Well, why don't you call him?
Dick Powell, too.
What's that?
I got Dick, too. I got to get Dick Powell on here, too.
22 minutes, so you should let me go.
Andy Serling, everybody.
See you later.
I love it. That was fun. Andy was in the mood. He was in the chatty mood. Got to take advantage. Let's take our break, probably the last of the morning, because we are running out of racetrack. We may have to table Hollendorfer until tomorrow, because I got to get to Dick Powell. Let's do that. Dick Powell next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
It's up to you.
among us. Who hasn't started a bar fight here? Raise your hand. We all have, right? Who? Come on. Who hasn't? There's some very, very, very funny things. You know, internet and specifically Twitter. There's moments on there that are just so irksome and annoying. But then there's things like last night and yesterday, the UB40 emergence out of everything going on in DC was and has been treated appropriately. Very, very funny. Dick, you ever start a bar fight?
Now, Steve, I grew up in Staten Island, and the last thing you want to do is start a bar fight because
you'll get your ass kicked.
Remember the scene in A Bronx Tale when the bikers come into the bar and that's how a lot of bar fights wind up. Well, finish up. They don't start the bar fight. Maybe you finish the bar fight. So I was always a gentleman because I wasn't packing heat, and I didn't have. I was too smart.
Well, I promised last night on Twitter
great education.
Well, people, I promised everybody, yes, we would absolutely play Red, Red, Wine. We couldn't resist. So. There, I fulfilled the obligation. That's our meme for the morning. Dick, we're getting down to the final hours here, the final short strokes, Presque Isle, and it's been a lot of fun. They've had a very good year, and the numbers are outstanding.
Yeah, you know, I looked last night, and on a Monday night, 1.227 million. So that was terrific. We're kind of taking a page out of Nara's book. We have 10 races on Thursday. I printed out the file. I'm like, wait a minute. What are these pages doing here? And 10 races in big fields, couple stake races, and three more nights, tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. And that'll wrap up the 2018 Presque Isle meet. As we talked about last week, Teresa Connolly has just crushed everyone in the trainer's title. She has 60 wins going into the last 3 days. Jerry Brooks, last year's leading trainer, has 42. The riders has been kind of interesting because Pablo Morales, going into the last week and a half, he had 134. Well, he only had 3 wins since we were last on. But Antonio Gallardo had 13 wins, including 5 last night and 4
wow.
on Sunday. So Gallardo, I mean, he has 106, but considering he has 28 wins at Monmouth, you know, he's busy, but he doesn't ride every night at Presque Isle. But he's had a terrific meet. But he's been red, red hot the last few days. So that was interesting to see how much ground he suddenly made up. And part of that is there's been a lot of rain out in that area, and I think the Tapita tightens up and favors aggressive riding. And if you can get out there and get into that nice rhythm, even though it's a fast pace, you're going to last a long time, and Gallardo is very good at that. Thursday night, on closing night, we have 2 stake races, and they both came up kind of interesting. The fifth race is the Fitz Dixon Memorial Juvenile for obviously 2-year-olds going 6.5, 1-turn long sprint. Drew a field of 12, 2 also eligible, and there's 4 2-year-old fillies in the race. So they kind of turned away horses for this big race. Looks speed dominated. I went with number 5, Big Drink of Water from Larry Rivelli. And he's an interesting horse. He's by Soldad, who used to be Rick Violet's speedball. And he broke his maiden at Presque Isle on the Tapita. He went up to Woodbine and won a stake race on the Tapita up there. And then he went to Arlington Park, and he won the Arlington Washington Futurity on the Power Track. So he's won on 3 different synthetic tracks, always showing speed. Jose Valdivia Jr. is one of my favorite writers of all time because he brought home a single I had and a pick six at Hollywood Park. Made a lot of money, so I don't forget things like that. And then underneath that one, I'll go with number 7, Delta Express from Jason DaCosta, another Steve Ball's 3 for 3. And then Thunderous Gem from Justin Johns, another Arlington Park shipper coming in, and Edgar Perez is going to ride that one. The other stake race is Phillies and Mares going 2 turns, and that'll be race number 7. That's the HBPA Stakes, mile and 70. And I went with outside number 10, Renaissance Rosie. I think she has enough speed to clear. Does she have enough stamina to get a mile and 70? We'll see. She's 9-2. She has Aaron Walker. Aaron's good at getting the horses out on the lead and just relaxing them. And I think we could be a nice upset here. It's 9-2 morning line. I think it's going to be much higher than that price. So we're looking for number 10, Renaissance Rosie, the steel bad race. And then tonight, and the amazing thing, Steve, is all the horses for courses are in the last week. I mean, you can't believe how many horses are in that have won 12 times, 15 times. You know, there's just tremendous records at Prescott. So tonight, race 3, we have T-Rolls, optional claimer allowance. I like number 3, Song of Envy, because Mike Rogers keeps running her for $62,500. She's not going to get claimed, so he keeps running her. And she draws well. She gets Uber Villa Gomez. And I think she'll be tough again, sitting just off the pace. Stretching out to a 2-turn mile, but I don't think that'll be any problem for this daughter of Take Charge in me. And then our other pick tonight will be, I think last week both picks won, but I warned everyone they were going to be chalk, and they were chalk. But they did
That's
win.
All right. That's better than losing.
Race 6, we have a horse for course number 1A, Unflinching. 52 starts at Presque Isle, 12 wins, 14 seconds, 12 thirds, and amazingly, $371,000 in earnings. Eight-year-old mare by Straight Man, Unflinching, dropped down 8 claimers last time out, kind of ran evenly. That was from the rail, and I think drawing outside a little bit will enable Gallardo, who picks up the mount, to get her to relax a little bit better and finish stronger. So Unflinching 1A will be our other pick in race number 6.
You want to slip in a Wednesday? You done with your Wednesday work?
Yes, I do, and they should be posted on the website Wednesday. We have 9 races? Yeah.
9 race cards.
On Wednesday? Yeah. Let's just reel them off as best as I can. I'll look for somebody. Oh, race 2 is a really nice maiden race. I went with Grand Motion, first-time starter, number 4, Sally Dangles, training on a Tapita at Fair Hill. Remember, we talked about this. If
right.
It says Fair Hill training track, that's Tapita, not dirt. And this one's been training on a Tapita. She's by more than they're ready. She's a out of a stakes winning mare, so the mare's already produced a stakes winner. Graham is 13% first time out. Louis Garcia, you're right. Just looks like it has all the ingredients. So that'll be race 2 tomorrow night. That's number 4, Sally Dangles. And the next race, number 3, race 3, I like number 6, Play for Play. Now you got to be careful of that in New York, where pay for play seems to be on the news every night, but Play for Play is Lance Stokes, and he had put blinkers back on, and he's won 2 in a row against 5 claimers, and the rule is, if they ain't claiming you, you're just coming back in the same class level until they do. Race 4, Queen of the Kingdom, looks very tough to catch, number 5 with Gallardo and Jerry Brooks. Another one, this is one of my dopey theories, Steve. Sometimes you get these perennial maidens. They're 0-9, 0-10, and then finally they win. And I swear the light bulb goes off. So
yep.
Queen of the Kingdom, number 5 in race 4, took 10 starts to break its maiden, went wire to wire, looked great, came back against winners, crushed them by six, moved up a little bit in class, beat them by a neck, and now comes back against the same class level with Gallardo back. And it's like, you know, you can almost cross, you know, they always say draw a line, but you can almost draw a line for all those races before she won, because once she did win, it kind of all made sense to her. And you see it over and over again. A horse,
yep, I agree.
Horse for 20 is now one for 21. And even if they don't win next time out, they usually run real well. And so that's one of my dopey theories that stands
I don't
up
disagree
to the
at
test
all. Of, yeah, it does. It does.
Up to the test of dopiness over the years.
My favorite career maiden story involves Del Carroll and Pont Street Stables, the late Stan Ettinger, and they had Pocahaba. She was 0-33, and she breaks her maiden, and promptly got hurt and retired to retire, and they turned her into a broodmare. It was like. And she had earnings. She was over 33, and she had made like $260,000 over 33, and it just picked up. And you know, some cases when you're in a state bed program, particularly you want to get a photograph, but sometimes you know what, you're better off not winning. You just keep, you know, because there's plenty that, you know, then have to go diving into claiming company, but. You know, or deep claiming company to win again, but sometimes you just keep taking those seconds, thirds, and fourths, and and making a bunch of money.
Well, especially with the state bred programs, because not only is the purse money being tabulated, but the breeders' awards and all that.
That's right. That's right.
Doesn't if even you're... show up like New York. I don't know why New York doesn't do what these other states do. The other states will put in $80,000 purse. Includes all this other stuff. So
right,
if you're
right.
not a Florida bred or Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund bred, mm-hmm. you're not getting that money. New York will say $80,000 purse plus all this other money.
That's a good
so
point.
With the mind, with your mind, your biscuits, and your diversifies, and all these terrific New York breds that have been winning an open company or any kind of company, their earnings are even higher than what it looks on paper. So yeah, those type horses. They're just warriors, and they're out there fighting, and that's why it was so much fun Saturday to see Urijah St. Lewis just come down the middle of the track.
It was great. Well, and
when the jockey.
On that topic, before we go, we got about a minute and a half. Your thoughts on the classic front and what we learned between the Awesome Again, the Lucas, and the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
The Awesome Again kind of went as expected. He won. He acted up in the gate. I didn't like that. But he raced wide, and he kind of raced just enough to win. So I thought it was a good prep. I thought it was a good prep for West Coast. I'm not sure what kind of prep it's going to be for, Diversify. And then Mendelsohn really emptied out. I thought Mendelsohn was spectacular. Thunder Smells should come back and improve. Mendelsohn, I don't know, because he ran so hard, so fast. Same thing with Diversify. So I don't know where they go as far as moving forward for the Classic. But I think Accelerate gets an excuse with the trip. Baffert indicated 80% ready with West Coast, and he probably was 80% ready and didn't use himself too hard. So he'll improve next time out. And I'm sure you'll see one big Baffert workout, maybe two before shipping, and Saddler's going to have to do a little more work with Accelerate, but he knew Saturday wasn't the goal, and so then the Mind Your Biscuits race, he's just such an amazing horse, because we've preached for years, come from behind horses, do not stretch out to longer distances. He just keeps doing it over and over again.
Well, and I think on that front, I think that's an interesting aside and reference in terms of closing sprinters. But but with maturity, you also, you know, the horse can change that way too, and he's become much more tractable, you know, as he's matured, and he can stay closer now without dulling his finish. And I think that's, you know, that's been, it's been such a steady progression. And I think that that has contributed. It's a fascinating equation, and we'll see where it leads in terms of decision. Chad was very circumspect yesterday. He wasn't committing to anything yesterday about where Mind Your Biscuits will turn up on November 3rd.
Well, we have a lot of options.
Dick, this has been a really fun. We'll continue to talk, obviously, through, you know, to Breeders' Cup and get opinions. But we want to thank the team in Pennsylvania and at Presque Isle. That really, it's been a fun year tracking, and I think a lot of people signed on and you know realized, you know, what a viable venue it's been. And that's been reflected in the numbers. So thanks to you and Presque Isle.
Thank you, Steve.
Not at all. Pennsylvania Horseman. Dick Powell and Andy Serling. Michael McCarthy, John White, Tom Amos. Was that what we did today? I got to get back to Jerry Hollendorfer tomorrow. We'll get to Dorf. Christina Blacker. Because we're doing Thursday, we're going to do a fun Keeneland Fall Stars and Belmont Super Saturday Stats Race Lens preview session. Craig Walker and myself and LP3. So we'll get you signed up for that, and we'll talk to Christina with her thoughts ahead to the weekend. We'll take our look at the Mid-Atlantic sale. Timonium yearlings, Eastern Sale. And we'll do lots more. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And who else we got? I got to get the Dallas Stewart. Please, we got so much we can still do this week. And we'll have cards to start to look at. Keeneland is drawing probably right now. Usually by about noon, they have an overnight out. It's Tuesday. If you want to play some horses, get at it, and we'll wish you best of luck and back with you tomorrow at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.